This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America. Your source for Pan-African news and world developments, I'm Kim Lewis in Washington.
And I'm Yais Wuhib. Coming up on Africa News Tonight,
Cameroon's military has had to take over the construction of roads at its northern borders with Chad and Nigeria after Chinese contractors abandoned the work following repeated attacks from armed Boko Haram fighters.
That's Smokey Edwin Kenzeka reporting. Full details coming up.
Also, Nigeria's President Muhammadu Buhari plans to visit the state where Boko Haram militants kidnapped more than 100 girls last month, and gender-based discrimination in the workplace continues in Rwanda.
We'll have these stories and lots more ahead on Africa News Tonight.
Our top story, Cameroon's military has had to take over the construction of roads at its northern borders with Chad and Nigeria after Chinese contractors abandoned the work following repeated attacks from Boko Haram fighters. Moki Edwin Kinzika reports from Mora, northern Cameroon.
A bulldozer of the Cameroon Military Engineering Corps digs through an abandoned portion of the road linking its northern border town of Kuseri to the Chadian capital N'Djamena and Borno State in northeastern Nigeria. Hundreds of curious onlookers, including businesswoman and politician Amkres Jibrin, are out to witness the relaunch of construction work on the road. She says they are very happy because instead of between 12 to 14 hours, they will be able to cover the distance in barely 3 hours when construction work is complete. The work, which started on March 1st with the portion linking Mora, Dabanga and Kuseri in Cameroon, was interrupted in 2014 following an assault on the base camp of Chinese road contractors. The Chinese workers abandoned the road and mining exploration sites in northern Cameroon when 10 of their workers were kidnapped by suspected Boko Haram rebels. In the raid, the suspected members of the Nigerian Islamist group forced their way into the Chinese camp in Waza, kidnapping the workers and stealing 10 vehicles along with a container of explosives. They were later released in October alongside 17 other hostages and the wife of Cameroon Vice Prime Minister Amadou Ali. Cameroon Public Works Minister Emmanuel Ngandou Djoumessi says since then they found it impossible to convince the Chinese to go back to work and called on the military engineers.
This stretch of road would have been already entirely constructed if we did not face this very, very painful situation orchestrated by Boko Haram. We have been working with the World Bank. The financing is available.
Djoumessi says the World Bank provided about $125 million for the project to be completed in 24 months. World Bank Cameroon representative Elizabeth Hubins says the 212-kilometer stretch of road is a key to commerce between Cameroon, Nigeria, and Chad.
The mission of the World Bank is to eliminate extreme poverty in the world. And here in Cameroon, when we talk about poverty, much of it is actually located in the northern regions and especially in the far north.
Cameroon, Nigeria, Chad and Niger soldiers under the multinational joint task force of the Lake Chad Basin Commission rolled back Boko Haram gains since last year and announced the terrorist group was living its last moments, but the insurgency switched to terror attacks and remains a threat. The conflict that began in northeast Nigeria 8 years ago has left at least 25,000 people dead and forced more than 2.6 million others to flee their homes, according to the United Nations. Moki Edwin Kinzika for VOA News, Mora, Northern Cameroon.
Cameroonian authorities say they have dismantled a network of child traffickers responsible for dozens of abductions in the region over the past several months. The network is said to have extended into neighboring Gabon, Equatorial Guinea, and Chad. The investigation intensified after three young children were found dead in the back of a truck. Moki Edwin Kenzeka reports from Kioso in southern Cameroon, where angry residents have torched a hotel owned by the alleged traffickers.
Hundreds of people are still visiting the neighborhood where an inn was razed last Tuesday by angry residents of Cameroon's southern town of Kiosi on the border with Gabon and Equatorial Guinea. 39-year-old Vanessa Nzali is among those who arrived on Friday. She says she had traveled about 280 kilometers from Cameroon capital Yaoundé when she heard that unidentified children had been found there by Cameroon police. She says she immediately decided to travel to Kiosi to see if her missing 11-year-old daughter was among the children.
Elle était partie à la source pour puiser l'eau. Elle a vu une voiture.
Nzali says 4 months ago, she returned home from work and was informed by her neighbors that her daughter went to fetch water from a well and four men forced her into their car and drove off. She says her neighbors also told her there was a baby crying in the car. Kwetong Henderson Konge, the most senior Cameroon government official in the Ntem Valley Administrative Unit, that includes Kiosi, says the inn was razed after a car belonging to its owner was found with three dead children aged 2, 4, and 7 years old.
At about 2 p.m., their parents started looking for them and could not find them. These children had been kidnapped by some suspects who took them into an inn deep down in the quarter in Kiosi. They administered some toxic product and these children went off. They now put these children inside bags and tied them and put all of them in the back boot of the vehicle.
Henderson says 15 people suspected to be members of a network of child kidnappers operating in Cameroon, Gabon, and Equatorial Guinea were arrested when investigations were opened. In 2016, the Yaoundé-based Interpol Office for Central African States reported that thousands of children, alongside men and women, were forcibly abducted in Cameroon, Chad, Central African Republic, Gabon, Equatorial Guinea, and the Republic of Congo to be used as combatants, cooks, guards, sex partners, servants, messengers, and spies. Patricia Asta of the local non-governmental organization Children's Rights says child kidnapping has increased in Central African states because many childless couples and mothers are ready to buy from the black market. She says some are forced to serve as commercial sex workers while others are recruited or kidnapped and then transported to faraway places where they are forced to work as pickpockets, beggars and drug transporters. Asta says within the past several months, at least 26 cases of abductions have been reported to her NGO, with parents saying their children either were tricked, forced, or persuaded to leave. She says they also have had cases of children who were held for ransom.
Nous initions des actions visant à sensibiliser les parents et aussi à sortir certains enfants des griffes.
She says they have decided to educate parents to be very vigilant and they are asking all victims to join their association lawyers in legal processes that will protect and free children from predators who are out to destroy mainly naive teenagers. She says it is her wish to see to it that all child traffickers are punished. Cameroon, according to the 2012 Trafficking in Persons Report of the U.S. State Department, also is a source, transit, and destination country for children subjected to forced labor and sex trafficking. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Kiosi, Cameroon. We'll be right back.
Nigeria's President Muhammadu Buhari plans to visit the state where Boko Haram militants kidnapped more than 100 girls last month. Buhari today started a tour of regions hit hard by the Islamist militants and other threats. His office says the president goes to Taraba State today and later will visit Benue, Yobe, Zamfara, and Rivers States. 2 weeks ago, Boko Haram militants kidnapped girls at a boarding school in Dapchi in Yobe State. The attack resembled one 4 years ago when the militants kidnapped nearly 300 girls from a school in the town of Chibok. As President Buhari has vowed to eliminate Boko Haram and is on the retreat in many areas. However, its fighters continue to be able to launch attacks. Zamfara and Benue states have been rising violence as herders and farmers clash over land and water. Rivers State has seen years of violence as ethnic groups in the area have attacked oil companies and each other. Taraba State has seen a rise in ethnic violence over the past few years.
Gender-based discrimination in the workplace continues in Rwanda and disproportionately affects women. This, according to several reports by Transparency International. While the country has made impressive progress, both in the fight against corruption and in the promotion of gender equality, many women are being forced to offer sex in exchange for jobs and decent salaries. Ngabire Marie Immaculée is the chairperson of Transparency International in Rwanda. She spoke with reporter Eugene Uwimana about the labor market and women.
Gender-based corruption or harassment at working places is a sad reality. They affect labor market in several ways. First of all, you can't be sure to have a staff well qualified when there are gender-based corruption. Even those who are qualified as such, but they don't pay a lot of effort to achieve or to implement because they need a kind of protection. Another thing, it's in terms of values and also accountability. They don't want to denounce. It creates also negative solidarity. Another side, they discourage those who were ready to deliver. It's really a very, very bad practice. It should stop.
How would the market be more fair and how would families benefit if there was no gender bias?
First of all, in terms of service, they will have very good service, but also everybody will have same chances and opportunities, which is fundamental in human rights issues.
How can the government or private businesses and educational institutions end harassment against women?
First of all, I think they have to accept that we have that problem. We should stop it. They can even set a mechanism internally in the institution. Somebody honest in charge of receiving complaint of a staff on that issue, even to receive information. But they don't do. They say it's very, very difficult to have facts. They don't take it seriously.
The government has encouraged women's participation in the politics, and in particular in the legislature. Have government institutions like the legislature and other government bodies been surveyed for harassment?
This time we worked only on public institutions. What we found is that there is a lot of sexual harassment.
Have women legislators or political parties spoken out or taken a public stand? If so, what have they done to protect women from harassment?
MPs themselves, women, they were the first to say that, no, we don't agree. No, it can't happen in Rwanda. If the responsible of the country that don't want to accept the reality, for us, what we can do is just to continue with our business and to ignore them.
Is the government taking any new moves against harassment? Will the parliament introduce any new measures?
No. Government in Rwanda, in general, government is against that. And there are some institutions which could do something. So the gap is there. Sometimes we have problem with decision makers, not with the political will or the national police as such. We have a draft law now. If you receive a message, for example, text message harassing you or asking you about that, it can't be taken as a fact or a proof. Even if you can have an audio, it's not accepted by the police. By now, not yet, the bill in the parliament accepts that those evidence can be taken seriously by the police.
That was Ngabiri Marie Immaculée, chairperson of Transparency International Rwanda. She spoke with reporter Eugene Uimana from Kigali, Rwanda.
Twenty minutes past the hour, this is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America. In advance of International Women's Week, a report by the Interparliamentary Union finds little progress is being made in increasing the number of women parliamentarians around the world. Lisa Schlein reports from IPU headquarters in Geneva.
Before 2016, the Interparliamentary Union reports the number of women being elected to parliaments around the world was increasing annually on average by 6%. But it says this encouraging upward trend seems to have come to an end. Over the past 2 years, the IPU finds the number of women in national parliaments globally has increased only by about 1%. It says women represent fewer than one quarter of world parliamentarians. IPU Secretary General Martin Chungong says women are faring better in countries that have electoral quota systems than in those that do not.
So this actually calls for more countries to adopt quota systems to try to level the playing field. We need more and more women in parliament to create a critical mass so that parliamentary decisions and outcomes are adequately informed by the interests of both men and women. And this is a very major factor for legitimacy, for effectiveness in decision-making processes.
A look at the IPU's league table of 193 countries shows a number of bright spots. As in past years, Rwanda comes out on top in the rankings, with more than 61% women parliamentarians. Senegal, in ninth position, outranks 10th-placed Norway, with nearly 42% female representation. These compare favorably with the United States, which ranks 100, with a dismal showing of just over 19% women lawmakers. Regionally, the report finds the Nordic countries leading. It says Europe, which has made the greatest gains in the number of women MPs, also recorded the greatest losses. It shows some improvements being made in Latin America, with Argentina, Chile, and Ecuador as trailblazers. IPU says sub-Saharan Africa has stabilized at nearly 24%, and Algeria was the only country in the Arab region to hold elections for its legislature last year. While female participation in Asia's electoral process remains low, the report says the Pacific region, with 15.5% women MPs, holds up the bottom of the rankings. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
A group of experts told U.S. lawmakers the role of women and their potential in countering extremism around the world is often overlooked and underestimated. Jamil Biggio, a senior fellow for women and foreign policy at the Council on Foreign Relations, said that recent research shows that anti-terrorism messages are decimated quite effectively throughout families and communities by women. Biggio spoke at a House subcommittee hearing on the role of women in fighting terrorism around the world. The hearing was called by the House Committee on Foreign Affairs Subcommittee on Terrorism, Nonproliferation and Trade to discuss ways of overcoming what some lawmakers termed a strategic blind spot in the ongoing efforts to counter global extremism and terrorism. Biggio stressed the need to bring women participation issue to the forefront of ongoing efforts.
The fantasy film The Shape of Water earned 4 Oscars at the Academy Awards yesterday, including for Best Picture. The film brought Mexican director Guillermo del Toro the Oscar for Best Director and also won honors for its original score and production design. Michael Sullivan reports from Los Angeles that the theme of inclusion dominated the awards in a year when many in Hollywood have rallied behind women. Audio excerpts are courtesy of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences.
Frances McDormand was named Best Actress for her role as a mother who was determined to shame a local sheriff into finding her daughter's killer in Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. As she accepted her Oscar, McDormand asked other women nominees to stand, including actress Meryl Streep.
The actors, Meryl, if you do it, everybody else will, come on. The filmmakers, the producers, the directors, the writers, the cinematographer, the composers, the songwriters, the designers.
She said each of those women has stories to tell and projects that need financing. A recurring theme through the evening, allegations of sexual harassment and assault against a growing number of men in Hollywood. The movie mogul Harvey Weinstein, the subject of scores of accusations, was expelled from the Movie Academy in October. Many in the audience wore the black and white pins of the Time's Up movement, which provides legal help for women abused in the workplace. Others wore orange ribbons and pins to call attention to gun violence following the killings last month of 17 people at a Florida high school. Another theme of the evening, the transformative power of films. Accepting the Oscar for Best Director, filmmaker Del Toro said that films remove barriers.
Because I think that the greatest thing our art does and our industry does is to erase the lines in the sand. We should continue doing that when the world tells us to make them deeper.
Jordan Peele achieved a first for an African-American filmmaker as he accepted an Oscar for the original screenplay of Get Out, a genre-bending horror film about an interracial couple.
I thought it wasn't going to work. I thought no one would ever make this movie, but I kept coming back to it because I knew if someone let me make this movie, that people would hear it and people would see it. So I want to dedicate this to all the people who raised my voice.
Gary Oldman was named Best Actor for his role as Britain's wartime Prime Minister, Winston Churchill, in Darkest Hour, which also earned the Oscar for makeup. Another wartime epic, Dunkirk, won awards for film editing, sound editing, and mixing. Allison Janney was named Best Actress for the biographical film I, Tonya, in which she played the mother of controversial skater Tonya Harding. Sam Rockwell earned the Oscar for Best Supporting Actor for his role as a racist policeman in Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Coco, a Pixar film set in Mexico, was named Best Animated Feature and also earned an Oscar for Original Song. A Chilean film about a transgender woman called A Fantastic Woman was named Best Foreign Language Film. Icarus, about the Russian doping scandal that led to Russia's ban from this year's South Korean Olympics, was named Best Documentary Feature. Mike O'Sullivan, VOA News, Los Angeles.
And that wraps up this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Yehiz Wahib in Washington.
And I'm Kim Lewis. And for all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com.
For listeners on VOA's Nairobi FM station, please stay tuned for the Swahili Evening News coming up at 16:30 UTC.
For all other listeners, please stay tuned to the Sunny Side of Sports. Tune in again at 1800 UTC for another edition of Africa News Tonight. On behalf of our producer, Bill Workinger, and our engineer, John Dryden, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.
Hello, my friends. This is Sunday Shomari, host of Let's Talk. Join me Monday for another exciting edition of your show. Next Monday, nails and beauty. This is next Monday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, sports fans. This is Sonny Young of the Sunny Side of Sports.
I love Sunny Side of Sports.
Please join us for a whole half hour of sports talk and news Monday through Friday at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC GMT. On the internet, you can like me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, and read my blog. Visit voaafrica.com and enjoy the show.